Okay, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the April 6, 2010 Wikibon Peer Insight Research Meeting, where peers discuss challenging problems in the data center. I'm your host and moderator, Dave Vellante, and the topic for today is common sense approaches to data center efficiency. And Wikibon is pleased to welcome back Eugene Hakopians, who is a senior systems engineer at Caltech and principal consultant at Enray Technologies, a consultancy that specializes in data center design with an emphasis on efficiency. Hello, Eugene.
Hello.
So just to get some of the housekeeping out of the way, I'd like to ask that if you're not speaking on the call, if you could please mute your line. And if your phone doesn't have a mute, you can hit *6 to mute and *6 to unmute if you want to participate, which, of course, everybody is welcome to do, as you know, and we encourage that. This call is being recorded and will last 1 hour. And if you want to tweet this call, please use the pound Wikibon hashtag so it will feed into our social media outlets. So again, welcome, Eugene. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let me set up the call here. So data center modernization projects can be very expensive, as you all know, and quite onerous. And using common sense approaches to airflow and equipment layout and overall design can dramatically increase efficiency and sometimes even reduce the power bill and, of course, improve the all-important PUE. The key is to integrate various disciplines, including power distribution, mechanical airflow, and knowledge of the application requirements, so that you can basically utilize existing infrastructure rather than rip and replace, which is going to increase your ROI. So, Eugene, you've been very busy lately. Why don't you tell us what you've been up to and how this efficiency kick started?
Sure. One of the things that this process started was we have a data center that we're using for our project, Spitzer Science Center. It's a small room, and what we were trying to do is to see if we can get more power, more air conditioning, because the environment was really bad. We had 44, we added more air conditioning. By the time we were done, we had 44 tons of air conditioning in-house, only 80 kVA UPS. We couldn't get anything more than that, and we were running between 72 and 76 degree on a good day. So there were a lot of challenges keeping up with the processing that we had to do in keeping up with the storage that we required to house all the data. And as you know from our last call, we have a lot of storage in-house. Actually, we've surpassed the 3 petabyte mark, and we're marching towards the 4. So that's, you know, having that much storage, although all of us is not in that one particular data center, it is challenging to keep it up. So one of the things that we try to do is to see how can we really approach a data center setup or a data center scheme to make it more efficient. So one of the things we try to do is to upgrade some of the equipment, buying newer technology and so on. So that was the approach. We try to get more energy efficient equipment. One of the things that we figured out that having the air conditioning 44 tons for 80 kVA, everybody was telling us that that should not happen. You should have, you know, between 20 and 25 should suffice for 80 kVA UPS load. So we were thinking, why is it that we are not efficient? And one of the problems that we had was we had 5 different air conditioning units, or air systems actually, and total of 9 units in the in-house. So we had the house air, we had the rooftop unit, we have the McCoy unit, in the ceiling. They added 2, you know, hybrid chill water and DX units, and then finally we had to buy 4 portable DX units to just keep up with the operation. So one of the things that we figured out was one thing we need to do is to approach it and increase the delta T to one of these air conditioning units to make it work more efficiently. Because one of the problems that if you have a problem such as you have either too much or too little humidity in the computer room, your air conditioning units, especially the ones that they are inside the computer room, if they're leaking from under them, so the efficiency is not there. if it's really sweating and having a lot of water underneath the floor or underneath the air conditioning unit. So if you're having those kinds of problems, if you're having any kind of short cycling, that the intake of the air conditioning is too close to the supply side, and before the cold air has a chance to get hot through the equipment, it's actually sucked back into the air conditioning. So all of those create a large problem for a data center, and that's why your 16-ton air conditioning may not even produce, you know, 4 or 5 tons just because of those inefficiencies. So one of the things we tried to approach it was to close down the, or at least direct the hot aisle and the hot air in the hot aisle to the intake of the air conditioning. And we tried to figure out what is it that we need to actually go forward with that approach. So one of the things that we did was we wanted to enclose we did a hot aisle containment. But the problem is there's not much of an suppliers out there that actually will come in and actually say, well, okay, we can do this for you very inexpensively. So one of the suppliers was APC. They came in and they said, oh, we can do the in-row racks, air conditioning units, and we can close down the tops and so on. But that was not going to work for us because we couldn't get more chilled water up in our computer room. We didn't have more power to run this air conditioning. And those were the challenge. Yes, it was a really good idea. Yes, if you have a new data center, it really works out in the long run. But in our situation, we could not do it. We had the money, but we didn't have the resources. Yes.
Eugene, I just want to interrupt you there for a second. Excuse me. So this is a common theme, isn't it? You have a situation where, you know, let's say half of the energy consumption is going to, you know, in the data center is going to non-IT equipment. It's going to cool the IT equipment, right, or distribute power or what have you. And a lot of times you'll have infrastructure vendors come in and basically try to sell you more efficient equipment when people frequently forget about the other side of the equation, which is all the IT equipment. Is that right?
That's correct. I mean, one of the things one of the things that I try to do is to go out to consultants. We hired a couple of different consulting companies, which I'm not going to name. But one of the problems was they came in, they did not understand the computing side of the house. So that was one of the problems that they came in. They suggested all great suggestions. As a rule of thumb, those suggestions really worked well, would work well. But the problem is, when you're stuck in a situation like ours, that you cannot get more power, you cannot get more chilled water to run your air conditioning, or even DX units, you don't have the power to run them, that is the problem. And most people in the data center are stuck in that situation rather than, oh, they have the power and air conditioning, and if they, or the chilled water. If they do have those, most often than not, they don't have the budget to do anything about it either. So they're in this limbo situation, and they're trying really hard to make the data center work, and it's a very nerve-wracking situation to be in.
So do you see the power bill at Caltech?
Unfortunately, our situation, I mean, and it's the same thing with everywhere else. We don't see the power bill because the power metering is at the building side. So that's one of the problems that we have with our data center. And one of the things that, you know, I will say, and unfortunately, there's a lot of data center managers on the call, or when they're hearing later on, they're not going to like the approach. But one of the things that needs to be done in a data center to make the data center more efficient is actually meter the power and meter the chilled water at the entrance of the data center. When you do that, then you actually see the numbers, what is your PUE really, and how much you're wasting, and how much energy is being wasted to actually cool and operate the data center. When you see those numbers, then you'll be aware of it, and you'll be actually be able to do something about it. It's similarly to the gas prices that we've gone through in the past several years. In the 70s and 80s, gas prices were sub-dollar or even lower. And people didn't care if their car really burnt, you know, 5 miles per gallon. So right now, today, because of the gas prices, there's this green approach. Everybody is talking about hybrid. Everybody's talking about smaller cars. Everybody's talking about efficient cars because the gas prices are really high. Most often than not, data centers don't pay their power bills and they'll pay their chill water bills, and everything is going from the either the campus or the main general fund to pay for those expenditures. When you charge the customer and you see the power bill, you see the chill water bill, how much energy you're using, actually you will be, unfortunately, I have to say, forced to think differently. The problem we see most often than not, even this consulting that I do, and I go to visit different companies, is that they don't see an incentive when they have to choose between computer A and computer B or storage A and storage B. They don't see the incentive of spending just a little bit more to get a better equipment. Just that, it will increase your power bill and increase your heat load, because the cheaper equipment, most often than not, they're not really power efficient. So they use more power. For example, you can buy the same platform with 120-watt CPU versus 50-watt CPU. That difference is humongous in power bill and in the operational cost. But the 120-watt CPU may be $100 or $150 cheaper because it's not power efficient, especially in today's environment. So people use that to buy, to save $150 out of their equipment budget, and they're not looking at the operational cost. And that's the that's the issue that I see most often around here. If you get charged for power and air conditioning, then what you'll see is the operational costs will come into your decision-making process. Therefore, you will buy, you will spend the money in front to buy a more efficient computer so your operating costs are less.
Okay, so you have a situation where you basically, you can't get any more power. You've got, I think you said, nine crack units?
Nine crack units, yes.
And so... So is that where you started? You started by measuring and metering, or can you tell us where did you start? Share some metrics with us, either situations at Caltech or other experiences that you've had in other assignments that you've gone.
Going through some of the issues that of data centers. Most often than not, what is the approach that they do? And I will share couple of numbers that I have with you that it's really good. You usually run out of space. You either buy more dense equipment or you build a better or larger data center. So we have gone from 1 kW a rack to a 20 kW a rack. So that is the today's norm. Although a lot of companies, they have on average 5 to 7 kW racks. And that's the norm, really. The upper end is 20 and 25 kW. You're running out of cooling, you buy more crack units. That's exactly what happened to us. You never look at a different approaches. You run out of power, you try to get more power, and most often than not, you don't get it, especially if you are within a metropolitan area that the infrastructure doesn't allow it. Not that you cannot get it at your facility. So that's the main problem that you do. Why is it that the data center managers are not efficient in using power and air conditioning? The main reason is we are computer people. If you give me a program, I'll usually make sure that I have really smooth running program with compute cycles in very efficiently. It does memory management very well, and also it does input-output very well. But then when it comes to the data center, us as the IT folks, if you don't understand the bigger picture, what happens is we don't do power utilization well. We don't do power distribution well. We don't have experience with the crack units, how we can make them more efficient. So those are the issues. And the difference is for the small guy, We are computer folks. We don't have a facility professional there that can actually work with us to go through it. And sometimes even the facilities people, because they don't understand the computing environment, they cannot talk the same talk and talk about the same language. So one of the things that I come up with is the new job description for a data center manager. So you have to be proficient in the operating system, computing, cluster computing, virtual machine storage, including NAS, SAN, iSCSI, NFS, whatever it is that you want to use, networking. In addition to all of that, which is really the IT staff, you have to be efficient in electrical engineering. So basically, how do you distribute power in the data center? And in mechanical engineering, how does your crack units work and how can you make it efficient? So as unrealistic as these expectations may be, but they're essential to making a data center operate more efficiently. So that's the issue with the data centers. And the data centers today, I would consider them as a living organism. They're very complicated, and there are many components and factors involved in it. If you accept that fact, then you may be able to look at it rather than a room with a whole bunch of computers and air conditioning as something that it actually lives. As you change one computer around, the whole environment changes. So the other problem that I see with data centers is that the requirements is a moving target. I have seen many cases that the original requirement for a data center is dramatically different than what they're actually doing today in the data center. The technology effect, we can pack more stuff into a rack. So we went from 1 kW to 20 kW kind of range. So every day, business requirements are different. That makes every data center different. So in regards to our solving the problems, it's half science, half art. You really have to finesse it. And most importantly, one of the other factors that I see in the data center is the human factor. The people who work there and actually the people who are responsible for making the decision. So 70%, what I consider, this is my personal opinion, 70% of the decision making has to do with human factor and 30% has to do with technology. If the decision making process was only based on technology, we would have none of the problems that we have because everybody would use the same approach to actually solve it, and that's the one problem. It depends, it's a difference of opinion rather than difference in technology choices. So
Eugene, you mentioned PUE before, which of course stands for power usage effectiveness, and for those who aren't deep into this, it's basically a measure of the total power of the data center facility divided by that which is required to power the IT equipment. So
yes.
Ideally you want a ratio of 1.0, right? That would be but the perfect world, which nobody has. But so, for example, a PUE of 2 means that the data center demand is twice that required to power the IT equipment, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so did you look at your PUE before and after, or can you share with us some of the results there, maybe either Caltech or some of your other engagements?
The results, by doing what we did, we were able to eliminate two of our air conditioning units, basically half air and the McCoy unit. So we completely shut them off. Also, we are operating today off the rooftop unit, which is 16 tons. We haven't changed the power load of the IT equipment, but we were able to knock down from 44 tons to 16 tons of air conditioning. The temperatures in the computer room, as I mentioned, we were running between 72 and 76. In the cold aisles, we have 62 degrees. In the hot aisles, we have 78 degrees constantly. Any time of the day you go in, that's exactly the temperature. You may get a 1 to 1 or 1.5 degree fluctuation, but that's the best we can do. In regards to measurement, unfortunately, as I said, since we don't have a meter that we could meter it, the only thing I had was the building. So looking at the building load that Caltech monitors, we saw when we installed the enclosures that we did, actually the power usage of the building comparing to the month next to it and comparing to the previous year and even looking at this year, we dropped about 10,000 kilowatt a month in usage for the whole building. And talking to The remaining of the building, I mean, we house two of the floors of the three-story building. So I know exactly what goes on in as far as the building load is concerned in the entire building. So that, you know, that 10,000 is a good margin because we dropped like 12,000 kilowatt a month. But 10,000, I could comfortably say that that was because of our not running all the air conditioners at all time. So we reduced the power load by 10,000. To our estimates, because we are in Los Angeles and we pay a high premium of power bill, including some of the overhead that we pay to Caltech and so on, its savings are estimated to be about $2,000 for a month for our efficiencies that we have done. In the meantime, under the same power load, which is roughly about 60 kVA of power, UPS power usage, the reason I know that is because the UPS has a meter and we've been monitoring that. Under the same power load, we have quadrupled our processing power. We have doubled, I mean, we went from 36 cores to about 140 cores. We doubled our storage from 600 terabytes to 1.2 petabytes under the same exact power load. Actually, I think we have actually saved some power, too. We are at, instead of 60 kVA, we are at like 57 kVA or something. So we have saved actually more IT power usage. We have gone to 16 tons of air conditioning in the whole room. The 18 tons that they added is acting as a standby. We didn't think it would be worth taking it out because that would be a good standby. And actually, we did a test that we can run the computer room with only 8 tons of the DX, the four DX units that we have that accounts for 8 tons. We can actually operate the entire room with only 8 tons in an emergency, although knowing that the temperature will rise in the computer room. So in the hot, we ran the whole thing for 8 hours straight, and we were able to keep the cold aisle about 78 degrees and the hot aisle about 90 degrees, which any computer will happily operate in those situations. Although the power, I mean, when you're looking at the test data and the day, and the couple of times that we tested on a daily rate, you saw the power usage on the building just shot up, you know, tremendously, just to keep up with the DX unit. So that's those are the numbers I have to share with you at this time for this one case that we have.
Okay, so just to clarify something, so you're today at constant 78 degrees.
62 degrees in the cold aisle. In an emergency, we will rise to 78.
Okay, so it's a constant 62 in the cold aisle, right?
Yes, and 78 degrees in the hot aisle. And then when we are in an emergency mode that the 8-ton DX units are working, we raise the cold aisle temperature to 78, and the hot aisle goes to 90.
Great. Okay, and you said that... Go ahead. Sorry, there was a question. But actually, let me get one more point of clarification, if I may. You said you, under the same power, increased your data center capacity by, what did you say, 4x, 2x?
4x in computing and 2x in storage. So we went from 36 cores. I mean, it would be easy to go from 4 core to, you know, to 16 core, but we went from 36 cores to 140 cores. On the processing side, and also we went from 600 terabytes to about 1.2 petabyte in that one room.
Great. Thank you. So there was a question.
It's Josh. It's not a question. It's a remark. You mentioned the PUE, and PUE of one is something that you never can achieve because you have to take in consideration that data center need cooling, need power system has losses, and you need lights as well. So a good, very good PUE is below 1.5, 1.8. But most of them are well above 2. Only in power system, for example, UPS, normally losses of UPS are 15%. Now you have building transformer with losses. You have power distribution with losses. You have AC to DC conversion, DC to DC conversion. So all these are taking energy from data center.
Yeah, so just to clarify what Josh just said, right, a 1.0 PUE is a theoretical, you know, nirvana, and it's impossible to achieve because of the losses that you explained. And you're saying, Josh, that a well-run or an efficient data center is running at a PUE of 1.5 to 1.8, and it's very common to see over 2. Is that correct?
Yeah, very few of them are running efficient, very, very few. Most of them are running well above 2.
And in your estimation, when you say very few, you're talking about single digits if you did a survey of the data center. Is that right? Like less than 10%?
I would say very new data center built in special areas like cool areas, for example. The largest data center in UK, for example, will be built in Lockerbie, which is in Scotland. And Lockerbie is 6 Celsius degrees in average cooler, for example, than London. And things like this. So you need really to invest in location and things like this to get, because the thing is cooling, most of the people don't understand. The cooling is, the energy required for the cooling is not the same energy which is required by the equipment. You are moving the hot air. You are not generating, in fact, cool air here. So lowering this number will increase and improve, will, sorry, decrease the PUE.
Right. So what about that, Eugene? Are you using outside air, ambient air?
We are actually including outside air into the data center, although being in Los Angeles area, we mostly have above, in temperatures above the what we require or what computing requires for the data centers. However, fresh air inclusion in the data center is essential for keeping the humidity at the level, so you go in there, it's not too much or too little, so you can shock yourself when you're touching the racks and so on. So that's essential, and that's why when you have a fully enclosed air conditioning loop inside the data center, they always have mechanism to add or reduce humidity to the system.
Great. Other questions that people might have? Let me open it up at this time.
So if I may add a couple of more things in regards to the environment, not the you know, just talking about the data center itself and the people really working there, because I think that's a big issue when it comes to actually a direction of choosing a direction for a data center. So if you're building a new data center, as was mentioned, you can actually build it in a proper area. Right now, there's a big build-up going on in the northeast and midwest, in the northern states, because they have a cooler environment, they have a cheaper power bill, and actually workforce living expenses and so on are less, so actually the pays are less. So there are a lot of build-up going on in those areas. But however, the issue that I want to address is the actual existing computer rooms that they are in the metropolitan areas, and they're really, people are struggling to get through the day and get it to work. Exactly the same situation that we were in about 3 years ago, that we have investigated and worked through all the issues. So existing data centers, most often than not, they don't have any budget. Staff are overloaded because the environment, it causes that, the overloading. Firefighting mode of operation is a daily chore, and there's not enough time in the day, and you have things fail, you know, one way or another, just because of the situation that you're in. And sometimes some of the data centers, I saw one data center, small one, they had maybe 4 or 5 racks, but the cold side temperature was about 80, 85 degrees, which is, you know, it's not really an optimum power or the temperature for a computer room to have. So that's the main situation that that you're facing today. Now, because of the overloading, because of everything else, on top of that, mixing the human factor, mixing the decision-making process, it's a very unfortunate side of the equation that people don't have the ability to either do the measurements, put together a proposal, and actually get the senior management to actually agree with it and move on. For example, in our case, not counting, you know, my salary or anybody else's salary that worked there, only counting the expenses that we went through to building this data center or the, doing the improvements that we have done, not including the actual upgrades of the equipment, just the air conditioning factor that we have done. Since we have not changed any of the power usage of the computing side of it, we're using almost the same amount of power for IT equipment. We spend roughly about $20,000 to do this and to do the improvements that we have done. And if you look at it, when we installed this process in February of 2009, by the time 12 months later, we actually paid, you know, in March of this year, we actually paid for all the expenses that we have gone through. And from that point on, we are actually saving Caltech about $2,000 a month going forward from this point. So that's the issue. We have other computer rooms that actually they went through a change. So this is the one point that I want to make, that actually even if you have the budget, changing your equipment or the way you cool the data center may not be a wise thing either. For example, there's a data center that has a capacity of holding 44 racks. It has half a megawatt of power for IT equipment only, and it has 300 kV of power for auxiliary power for anything else, air conditioning, lighting, and so on. So they have that much power to utilize for the situation, and they chose to go with a in-row air conditioning cooling. So they're taking away 12 racks, which is for IT equipment, to house air conditionings in the rows, and they're taking out their large air conditioning units. So that's one of the things that they have done. By taking the large air conditioning units out and putting more racks in place of the large air conditioning unit, they're actually decreasing the capacity of the computer room. So they don't have the same amount of rack space that they can put equipment in back in because of all the air conditioning units. And the other decisions that was made to reduce the floor space or reduce the rack space of the computer room. They're spending upwards of $500,000 for this air conditioning work that they could have certainly used a lesser value and actually keep all the floor space. Because one of the things is that it's a really dilemma. You increase the air conditioning, you reduce floor space, you increase the density, you create other problems. So there has to be a balance between the approaches that you want to use, the amount of money you're spending, the equipment that you have, the direction that you want to go towards, and what is the real outcome of these upgrades you're doing, and are you getting the ROI that you're looking for? I mean, after spending $500,000, that ROI is going to be so long that you're not, you know, you just do it because of doing it. You're not doing it because of the, because it will save you money in the long run. Well, it has to be a very long run to get your return on investment in that particular room. There is another room that I'm familiar with that they have done the planning what they thought correctly. So they have, again, half a megawatt of UPS power. They have three pairs of 20-ton air conditionings, so that's 120-ton. They spend $150,000 on the air delivery and supply and return ducting just to get that set up going. They have one row of 28 racks going through it. They populated everything with the dual-core Dell blades, 40 or 42, I think, in Iraq. This was 2 years ago that they built it. Now today, I mean, they've had problems throughout the project. Today, they upgraded all their blades to a quad core, and unfortunately, they can only run half of the room. Not because they don't have the air conditioning load, but they don't have the power distribution load, because the distribution of power wasn't done properly, and it doesn't match their UPS. So they have to spend yet more money, take big downtimes to do it. Another approach that they've used, for example, when you walk in the hot aisle, passing about maybe two steps past the midway, you stand right there, you feel this rush of air coming through and really messing up your hair. It's that powerful. And when I try to evaluate why is this airflow this strong, I found out that they only, when they populated the left side of the computer room with racks, actually they're running the two most right side air conditioning unit. By the time that air supply comes on the right side, which has no computers, and all the they used cardboard to plug all the racks, coming through the data center, by the time it gets to the computers, it's already, there's a 2 or 3 degree delta in there. And then by the time it gets in, it just rushes all the way back to the other side. I mean, we're talking about a 60 feet long room. It rushes back to the right side of the computer room to just get cooled. If that is the situation, if they would have just used the air conditioning that is right behind the racks that is being utilized, and actually they somehow close the room in midway, they could actually increase and improve their PUE. Those are the common sense approaches that data center people and they do, which is actually decreases their efficiency.
All right, so this is a really important point that you've made, those last several ones, and the basic message here is that when you invest on improving, let's say, for example, the cooling infrastructure, it's not going to change your IT equipment power consumption, but if you can improve the IT equipment energy consumption, you're going to have ripple effects that are positive on the supporting infrastructure.
Yes. I mean, okay. there is no silver bullet, unfortunately. Every data center is different. You may have two identical data centers, two the same power, same air conditioning, same number of racks, but because of your business requirement and the approaches that you're using, that setup, you know, rack setup, hardware setup, air conditioning, airflow, all of that is completely different than the other one. And every room has its own characteristic on top of the business requirement that makes it very unique. So you cannot, you know, there are a couple of things you can do as a rule of thumb. Using a newer hardware will increase your efficiency within the same footprint. You could use different approaches. You can use virtual machines, although I have a qualm about that because not every place can use a virtual machine to actually reduce their power by increase their processing time. So that's a potential. If you can use it, yeah, that's great. You can use that. You can densify, basically putting more dense equipment in the racks, which again, it's a ripple effect that it causes another issue somewhere down the line. This is similar to, I mean, if you really think about it, this is similar to any kind of networking issue or processing issue that you have in a system. So you make the processor go faster, your network is slow, and your file system is really under stress. And when you're improving your network, your file system stress goes up and the database access goes up because you're accessing database faster. So you improve, you add more processing on the database, then you cause the pipeline drones to go slower or need to go faster. So it's a really a catch up game with the same way that it happens in the processing scenario. It happens exactly in the power distribution and also air conditioning scenarios. That you improve one area, you move the problem to the next area unless you actually look at the entire facility and looking at the improvement, going after all the little pieces at the same time rather than doing one major in one area, do a little bit everywhere and see how that works, and then improve it more again. So that's the approach that you want to use for improving. That way you're not spending a lot of money to actually do the improvement, but you actually see little by little improvements in your PUE as time goes.
So what did you spend the $20,000 on?
The $20,000 was roughly about $7,000 or $8,000 was about the enclosures that we used. We reduced the computer room because cooling the volume of air in that situation, having 80 kVA of UPS, really reduced our capability when you have a 1,400 square foot room. When we talked about, you know, we were about 1 kW to 2 kW a rack, we figured that if we densify, it would be better for us. So we targeted 5 kW per rack. So that's the power usage that we're going to do for racks. So therefore, with the power available, we could only do like 16 racks. So looking at the room environment, we could really fit 7 racks in a row for 3 rows, total of 21 rack spaces. 2 of the rack spaces are taken away by the air conditioning, this chill water DX unit that we have is taken by that, and two racks are taken away by power distribution, so you ended up with 16 racks there. So the rest of the room, which you could put 3 more rows in there, it was actually being cooled for nothing. We were cooling the walls, we were cooling the floor and the ceiling and everything else in between. So one of the things that we did, we actually reduced our floor space. So we put a false wall, what you call a plastic wall, across the whole room, and we divided it in half. The back half is the computer room. The front half, we are using it for everything else that we have, storage, some of the test equipment of some sort, and so on. So we reduced the actual room from 1,400 to 700. We reduced the racks from 32 to 21, and we used an actual IT racks are about 16. And reducing the volume of air you have to cool actually is another factor in your equation that will make the air conditioning work efficiently. So there is not one thing we have done in our data center or any of the data centers that I go to for consulting. It's not one thing that we do. It's actually we look at the entire environment and do a little everywhere else, and the accumulation of those little steps actually makes a big difference.
Okay, so it was things like enclosures, false walls, a couple of little things here and there, but certainly not a whole redesign of your infrastructure.
No, nothing at all. I mean, the rest of the money went in moving some lights around, adding more sprinklers to meet with the fire code, adding more the fire detection because we have a dual setup of fire smoke detectors for our pre-action sprinkler system. So we added more in every of the containments. We added more sprinkler and also the smoke detectors. We closed down underneath the floor because we have a raised floor, so we closed down where we put the wall up above the floor. We plugged all the holes in the bottom, so when the air conditioning, the rooftop one, goes all the way to the underneath the floor, and that's part of our supply side, actually doesn't cool the area that we are not using, and actually we increase the pressure, the air pressure, inside the enclosed area. To actually, you can feel now the air coming up from the grid, from the grills on the floor. We changed the grills, for example, on the floor, going from this quarter-inch holes going to actually one of those half an inch by half an inch grills with some kind of a damper so we can control it, the airflow, depending on where we put the equipment. We actually increase or decrease. So for a rack that doesn't occupy any equipment or very few, then we close the damper right there, and we open the damper on the floor grill in front of a rack that has 4 or 5 kVA. Although that's not really an optimum way of doing it, the best idea is to actually distribute the IT equipment across all of your racks, so you actually have a uniform temperature everywhere else to avoid hot spots. So, you know, there, again, depending on your situation, you may do one thing or another, but there are many different approaches that you can use to collectively add to your advantage.
Okay. So your ROI strategy, you know, ROI is benefit divided by the cost of the benefit. Your strategy was to use low-cost strategies to get, you know, the numerator up and keep the denominator small.
My idea is getting the most bang for your buck. That's where I stand.
Yeah.
It's Josh. I completely agree. There are a lot of low-hanging fruits. Like I was mentioned, missing blanking panels, for example, the placing of the perforation tiles, hole in tiles which were made for cables, or the obstruction of the airflow under the floor. So all of them are low-hanging fruits, which is possible to correct with almost no cost. If we speak about designing or physical planning, I can read what I am recommending for my presentation on how to save energy. Every room has two primary layout axes, and all the racks should be aligned with the same axis. So all of them in parallel with cold and hot aisles. The grills should be aligned with the racks. Now, I like the idea of the wall that you said, because I also recommend two or maximum three tiles, and tile is 60 centimeter, and the end of the last rack to the wall. Also, not to create the mixing of the air. Now, there is also a problem of columns. If you have columns in the data center, normally you have obstruction. So, in designing, the people should pay a lot of attention where to put the first rack, because it will later on decide on the whole layout of the data center. If we speak about energy, each watt saved on electricity in average means 2.2 watts in the overall consumption. So how to reduce the watts? There is, in the recent few years, there are many technologies, some of them mentioned, like virtualization to increase the utilization. But you have other technology, for example, switching off unused processors in servers. Or you have servers with adaptive cooling, which adjusting the blowers and the fan speed. You have dynamic power capping, which is limiting the power. If we speak about storage, for example, tiered storage, deduplication, compression, thin provisioning, thinking about alternative technologies like tapes, like VTLs, the new HDDs. We will move in a short time to 2.5-inch HDDs, which require less energy per capacity. So all of these can lower the consumption of the power.
Josh, just a point of clarification. One of the metrics you gave was from an energy consumption standpoint, each watt saved, I think you were referring to each watt saved on IT equipment consumption means on average,
yes,
2.2 watts overall, which would suggest an average of a 2.2 PUE, right?
Yeah, if it is 2.2, which is relative to the effective.
But your point is, again, a very good one. Every watt you save on IT will save you, you know, your PUE on, you know, the overall facility. Excellent. Thank you for sharing that, George.
There is another thing which is important. If we come back to storage, that the data storage devices has the highest power consumption growth rate. It was annual was 191% in the last few years.
One other thing that I want to add to everything else that was said in regards to improvement, one of the things that most managers tell me is that we don't see the problem, and we don't see where is it that the issue is. So one of the things that I do, and that has to do with the human factor of it, to actually bring the problem to them, show them the problem, that they actually have a problem. And when they understand and recognize the problem, then solving and introducing the approaches you just mentioned, it becomes viable. That is the human factor that I was talking about, that you have to cut through before you can take the next step. I mean, a CFO, CIO, CEO, or any of the management team, they have to recognize it. Since they don't go into the computer room all the time, since they don't look at the situation and the processing that is happening, they don't see the actual problem. And when you show it to them, then there is an ease of upgrade comes along, and actually they loosen up the purse string and they see, okay, if I spend a little bit of money right now, I can save some money in the long run. So that's the one.
Let me answer. Yeah, let me answer to that. The first thing is that most of the CIOs are not aware of the energy consumption. Now, IBM made a study and found that only 25% of respondents says that the IT department pays for the energy bill today. And only 28% knows the energy cost. In Europe, most of the cases in Germany, for example, it goes from other department. It's not on IT budget. It's on the budget of the facilities, of the building, etc. And this is the reason that the people are not aware. However, the thing is changing. In Europe, it's changing because of the awareness to the environment protection. And the companies want to show reduce in energy. In US, you have carbon tax legislation, and it is still, I believe, in debate in the US Congress. On top of that, there is different regulation for the government, for example, for selection equipment, that one of the major selection criteria on RFPs will be energy consumption. So all this will, I hope, will change in the future.
And that was the reason I said, many data center managers would not like what I said earlier in the call, that they need to measure the electricity and the chilled water at the entrance to the computer room in order for them to actually see and know what is the situation that can show the management what is the power consumption and how much would the bill be in regards to the pay. In our case, we did it just because we wanted to be efficient. We were having problems and nobody else was helping us. We had to do something about it. But in many cases, there are people aware of some issues, but they cannot pinpoint and actually do it, and that's where that I was trying to help out.
The management will take attention in two cases. One case, if they pay for that, if it is from their budget. And the second case, and this is in particular in the United States, if the power company cannot supply more electricity. There are many data centers that reach the limit of the energy, and they cannot get more from the power. On top of that, in California, as far as I know, companies which are reducing the power consumption are getting credit from the power company. So these are the reasons, but as I say, in Europe there is another reason, and this is general environment, I will say, consideration, which is driven by the corporations.
I mean, one case I know of at JPL, the director found out that they're paying about $10 million a year for power consumption for the entire laboratory. So they were talking about, why is it that we're spending so much money? Why is it that our usage has gone up? And they're in a big process now to figuring out what is it they need to do, what is the next step, looking at everywhere that they're actually using energy and trying to reduce that or optimize it so they can, not that they don't want, I mean, I'm sure they want to pay less for the energy, but what they are looking at is the growth of energy. They want to slow down the growth of energy or maybe stop it and use it. We use the same amount of energy, but for more stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of companies that said they're becoming aware of it as soon as the director or the management, they become aware of the power bill.
Hey, Josh, you mentioned a presentation. This is just your sort of one that you're giving now, or is there something upcoming that you want to?
It's a presentation. It's a presentation which I gave on S&W. How to save, how it was called, Green Data Center or Energy Efficient Data Center.
So that was S&W in Europe or U.S. or both?
It was S&W in Europe, yes.
Yeah, okay, so S&W.
They don't like me in the S&W in U.S. I tried to send several times call for papers, but after two or three times, I stopped to do that.
Yeah, well, we like you, Josh.
Thanks.
Josh, is it possible to, can you give a link as to where we can access that paper?
If you go to the S&W Europe in Frankfurt.
Okay. Because I'm looking at just they announced the Green IT Review. The Green Grid Forum said national standards, universal agreement on data center energy. Are you familiar with that? It's a UK-based organization.
No, I know.
Okay. It's called Green IT Review. They are trying to set national standards, universal, Europe, Australia, U.S., and everybody.
Hi,
I'd be interested.
Who's that speaking? You just give me a first name.
This is Mahendra Shah. I'm in a green virtual technology world. Basically have ridden all this electronic revolution. This drive industry is mainframe computers, so I'm very familiar with efficiency requirement as we talk about that. One of the big thing we always talk about, is cooling is required for the racks and not for the aisles in between. It's part of the racks design should be done in such a way that's where the air goes from down to up and, be recycled.
Right. Okay, so Josh, if you want to send me a link, we can include that in our newsletter. And if you want to write a summary of something of your talk and maybe put some metrics in, feel free to do that, and we'll send it out in our newsletter and put links into that document. We have to wrap, unfortunately. I really appreciate you guys staying on here. So on behalf of the Wikibon community, I want to thank Eugene Hakopians of Caltech and Andre Tech. And if you want to reach Eugene, it's Andre, ANRETECH.com, ANRETECH.com, Andre Tech. Hopefully that's okay, right, Eugene? That's the best
way to go. Absolutely.
Yeah, so thanks, Eugene, for coming on today and sharing your experiences with Wikibon.
Thank you for having me.
And also, Josh Krischer, you can find his stuff at joshkrischer.com. It's Josh, joshkrischer.com. And I say, Josh, if you send me that link or you want to put something up.
Yeah, thank you. I will look for the link which they publish and I will send you.
Yeah, we'll include that in the summary and send it out to our members. And Mahendra Shah, thank you for your comments at the end there. So as a reminder, our next Peer Insight meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, April 27th. And it's entitled The Future of VMware Backup. And we'll be joined by Henry Robinson of VMware and Peter Imming of Symantec to talk about vStorage API for data protection, otherwise known as VADP or son of VCB, which uses change block tracking to fix many of the challenges of VCB, and which is VMware Consolidated Backup. And as many of you know, VMware Backup is a real challenge. As another reminder, over the next 24 hours or so, we'll have up on Wikibon research notes pertaining to this call with user action, so look for those and feel free to hit the edit tab and improve the pieces or put up your own piece or even write a wiki tip. We'll also be producing a podcast of this call and sending that out and putting it up on the site as well. So thanks for listening today, everybody. And thanks for being a Wikibon member. We'll be at SNW next week, so please look us up. Bye for now.